The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
I know this isn't the best time, but when you get a chance to pull over,
yeah.
Are you crazy? I'm not pulling over now.
What are you doing now? You're lifting your leg to pee.
No, you don't lift the leg.
I get grief for just lifting up one leg of the shorts and bringing it out the side door instead of going out the center
door. I don't
door.
Understand how this works.
Uh-oh. What? What's wrong? The bottle's almost full. I'm still going.
So stop going.
I can't stop going once I've started. It stings.
Much more efficient. Put it on the pole. I guarantee I will take 30% of the people.
Hold that one. Hurry. We're pitching it. What are you, a camel?
This begs the question, too, since we're here. Do you go through the barn door or over the barn door?
Oh, I never use the barn door.
Oh, I go through that.
The barn door's horrible.
Really?
Uh-huh.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Running around, she wants to ride it. She's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever. She's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They make the plans, we sit and count. Our chairs stack it just like a mountain. You heard about it.
I'm gonna need you guys to be real honest with me. She's trying to hide it. None of this protecting my ego or, you know, peace or anything.
You ain't got to worry about that.
You know,
when have you worried about that?
I didn't think so. But I would have been angry if you guys did kind of, you know, dance around or tiptoe around the reality. So let me ask you a question. Am I an oversharer?
Yeah.
Do I overshare?
I don't think so.
Oh, there you have it.
Huh? One of us listens, the other doesn't.
No one overshares more than me. Hence the conversation the past couple days. We covered nipples. We covered peeing. We're going to talk vomit today.
And to be fair, one of the big concerns that you and I have on the show is him sharing other people's information that he's not supposed
to share.
That's
because he's confused about whether or not he's supposed to keep it a secret or it's not a secret. So he gets a little confused about what he's supposed to keep in the vault. The vault doesn't exist. Because everybody knows the key to the vault.
Peach schnapps.
8989.
I shaved his rear end when he told me Ashton was getting engaged in Europe and he wasn't supposed to. And you know how hard I had to bite my tongue?
Which is why he had a panic attack.
Which is why I bleeped up. When I told you that, yes.
What do you overshare?
I'm just talking generally speaking.
No, I don't think you do. I think you could share more.
Of course you do. You love gossip.
I'm a fan. Like, I need to give us some more on College Game Day.
Like from a...
You know?
From a...
Has Corso soiled himself on stage?
No.
Well, that's something that... Would that be considered oversharing? I'm just saying something. Like that.
I would argue you two and Ben Brust are the world's leaders in oversharing.
But we also are responsible for creating content, and there is a part of it that is content. I had this conversation with a girlfriend recently. We were just talking about oversharing in general, as far as like people who are very open, who are very, you know, and I said, I overshare because I don't have a lot of shame about anything I've experienced or anything I've been through. And I see a lot of shame in people. It dictates their behaviors. It dictates their interactions, jealousy, envy, things like that, insecurity. And so if I can find common ground, or if I can articulate to somebody that I've been through something similar to what they've been through and it, you know, it all works out, or that, look, I pooped in someone's front yard once, LOL, LOL, happens to the best of us type of thing, that I feel like I can create more common ground with people. And so that's why I feel comfortable, quote unquote, oversharing.
We would be better off as a society if people had a little more shame.
No, incorrect. That's no,
100%.
No, shame is very damaging, Gabe.
Sure, cool, but so
no,
is,
no, not cool. Like
so is. I mean, if you had just a little bit more shame, maybe you'd keep your shoes on when you're on the airplane.
That's true.
Right? Like, just a little bit. I'm not saying
so
have a
saying
lot of it.
A little sprinkle of
just,
shame.
That's all I'm saying. Just a little bit of it. Just a little bit of it. All those things that we talked about when we did our bracket back around March Madness, a lot of that, if they just had a sprinkling, a little bit of more shame, I think we'd be a little bit better off.
I want to make something clear here because I'm going to join Gabe here full-heartedly. When it comes to things like mental health, illnesses, trauma, stuff like that, share away. If it helps you, if it helps other people, share away. When it comes to your personal life and things that sometimes would be better kept unsaid, things that don't necessarily make anyone better other than providing fodder for the internet, I think you're better off keeping things to yourself.
So interesting. Do you have any specific examples?
Sure.
Maybe
do.
Something things over the last, I don't know, 24 hours or so that have taken the internet by storm in the sports space. Joshy.
Kelly Stafford, take it away.
Wait, so was he trying to casually date and you were all
in? Oh, yeah, girl. Anyways, long story short, it wasn't that cute of a relationship at first. I hated him. I loved him. I dated the backup to piss him off, which worked.
Oh, yes. He was like, that'll do it.
He was the bad boy, too. Like, Matthew's so sweet and southern gentleman and all that stuff. And the backup was the complete opposite.
Yeah, yeah.
Ooh, and it upset him. So they lived in the same dorm because athletes lived in the same dorm, and he would see my car there. And so at one point, he, like, waited and followed me out and got in my car and wouldn't get out.
Stop.
And he was
like, this is so hot.
I was like, this is amazing. It's working.
Yeah.
I was, get out of my car. And he was like, he's not right for you. And I was like, who, what? You can't tell me that.
Okay. So you think that was oversharing? Her talking about
using another
strategy.
Person? Yes.
No. Whoa. That to me, that is a different topic. Using another person to make the guy you actually wanted to date jealous is different than oversharing. If you have an issue with that, I'm happy to have that conversation. I mean, it feels like we're going to have either conversation. Yeah.
Seems like they're all on the table.
Like we're talk
seems
about
like it's all out there.
But like, that's part of how they got together. And now they have a long-standing marriage and many children and, you know, would be considered by most accounts a successful relationship. That's what she's telling. She's telling how she, and look, it sounds like, and I was just kind of picking up what she was putting down, that he was kind of giving her the runaround, right?
Yeah.
Matthew Stafford was giving her the runaround, and she was like,
what's
all
good
right,
for the goose is good for the gander.
I'm going to have to play a little dirty here to get what I want, which ladies tend, we do that. We do the thing.
Really? Didn't know that.
We do that.
Yeah.
But if you have an issue with her using the other guy, that I think is, you know.
Well, but that's part of, like, you're using another person to get what you want. Maybe you keep that story to yourself.
There's
maybe
a line.
Maybe you keep that one in your back pocket.
Like, there's a line on this show. There's a line in life.
You don't know where the line is.
Never crossed it.
You?
What?
Okay.
that
was once. I haven't been called up to the principal's office in a while.
Yeah, because I take the shrapnel.
I know.
We've built a wall around you.
No, there's a line. You know?
How do you know what that line is? And when I say you, I obviously don't mean you. I mean
the
collective.
Royal, yeah.
Because we all know that you don't know what that line is.
I don't know what the line is. I find out when I go home, but when I'm here,
when you're here,
I really
it's all
don't
fun
know
games.
Where the line is.
It seems like you and Kelly have a lot in common.
I didn't think that was bad at all.
I don't have anything.
I didn't have a problem with it.
I don't, in a vacuum, that statement seems pretty milquetoast. That's relationships, that's college, to be quite frank. A lot of the stuff like that happens.
It's the wild, wild west.
Yeah. But when you're doing honest. It on video, and you know it's going to be out in the internet, you are going to allow people to make assumptions.
Well, and when your husband is
correct.
One of 32 starting quarterbacks
correct.
In the NFL, and there is an insatiable infatuation with the NFL and its players and
uh-huh.
its characters, yeah, this was gonna roll. This was gonna fly.
Yeah, and now I know who Georgia's backup quarterback was.
Good for him.
I don't know his name. No. I know what he looks like.
I'll never be able to see his face.
I think Matthew would get ticked off over that. You think about over that story?
Not now.
Yeah.
No.
Angie mentions an old boyfriend, I'll say, I'll beat the guy up right now. I really don't care.
Such a you
word
problem.
Is he?
No, I mean, we.
That's meathead football player.
Chewie got in trouble when we brought up him blowing off Cindy Crawford. He didn't even know his current wife when he blew off Cindy Crawford. He got in trouble for
isn't
it after he talked
isn't
about it.
Is that a double standard?
Yeah, but you guys are allowed double standards, I guess. Or not.
Now you're oversharing.
You should see. You should see when that comes on the TV. You know, because she still does
oh, like
her makeup
that skin,
stuff.
Yeah, yes. The skincare stuff.
I
that
just
she does.
Hear. And I didn't do anything.
No, you.
I did
you
nothing.
Actually, you yes. literally did nothing. You
yes.
literally did nothing.
800-990-3776. How do you feel about, quote, oversharing? I don't think this was an instance of oversharing, but you guys had a very visceral reaction to it, which was keep it to yourself. Don't need to share your business. That type of stuff happened within your relationship. The world doesn't need to know about it. And Gabe, you were probably hottest about Kelly Stafford
yeah, like,
sharing this.
Again, because you're talking, yes, and it's college and it's the Wild West, but like using another person to get what you want, like just something about that. Like, yeah, keep it to yourself. Probably not that person anymore. But, obviously, you've gone on to have the successful career, but like, it's just something that didn't feel great about that story. And now also, by the way, because you decided to open up, hey, this is how me and my husband got together, you're opening yourself up for all sorts of criticism about your relationship on the internet. And you're the one who decided to swing that door wide open.
But you are the world's biggest secret squirrel. You don't tell anybody anything.
Excellent point.
You are.
Yeah.
You are a total secret squirrel.
So on the spectrum of oversharing,
yes.
yeah.
you're -3.
Yeah.
Just because I waited a few weeks to tell you guys I got engaged, like, come on.
And got a dog.
Yeah, and a house. Yeah,
I knew about all this stuff.
Yeah, you guys knew about this stuff.
Here's the thing. Gabe will leave the show before we know he's leaving the show.
Yeah. Like Joshy's fire story?
Yeah.
You would have never told us that.
I probably would have forgotten about it because
no.
I had six other things going on
yeah,
that day.
Oh, because you were getting a Medal of Honor from the city for saving that poor sucker's life. 800-990-3776. Do you agree that sometimes people overshare and it makes you uncomfortable? My point on the Kelly Stafford thing was it affects you 0%. How her and her husband ultimately got together, if she thinks it's a cute story about kind of how she had to strategize and play a little dirty to get the guy she wanted to be with to notice her, and it all ended up working out, and they're living happily ever after, what's the big deal?
What's the damage you did to the other guy you used?
She didn't say his name, although Joshy did look him up.
Wow, that'd be tough to find out.
you know, exactly
listed.
It's sort of like, and I can't believe I'm the one who's bringing this up. It feels like this should have fallen on your shoulders. When I said I dated the guy in college who I didn't find attractive.
Basically
that's right.
Yeah, when you called the guy ugly. Yeah.
I didn't call him ugly. I said, I'm not physically attracted to you. And my point is,
nobody
has ever figured out who that person was to be able to say, like, to like loop that hood over him or loop that attachment to him.
Well, that's because, like, I mean, he wasn't the backup to some famous person now. Or at least, you know, you ended up with some famous, because you're able to keep that identity secret. Try the best you can, Kelly. Once you say, oh, I was hanging out with the backup, it's not that hard to figure out who that guy was.
So should she have said a teammate? Would that have been better?
That probably would have been better.
Because it opens the field up?
Or you can just say
a guy.
Another guy.
Yeah, but that doesn't have the same...
Another athlete.
Right, which makes it different.
Someone on his team. That, to me, feels safer, but also proximity enough that you get the gist of why it might have gotten under Matthew Stafford's skin.
Correct.
Yeah, it looks manipulative in one thing. It also kind of makes Matthew Stafford look a little cuckoo getting in the car and not getting out. Also,
okay. Whoomst among us.
The main thing is, Jen, your story of pooping in someone's backyard affects...
Front.
No,
it was
the front yard.
Sorry, my bad.
let's
the
get
back
the facts.
To me. Yeah, I made a mistake. That affects
straight.
Only you. Did Matthew Stafford know she was going to tell a story about how they ended up together? Was this discussed? Is he okay with it? I don't know that fact. I feel like I share a pretty decent amount from my personal life.
You call your girlfriend Mussolini.
And do you run things
by her
before you share them?
I do.
No, Mussolini's the girlfriend.
Wait.
Oh.
Wait. Chew.
This whole time you thought
it
was
I'm not gonna lie.
The dog?
I thought it was the dog.
No. I said my girlfriend Mussolini.
Okay. Because he was talking about walking Mussolini.
Well, he was walking with Mussolini.
Why would you name your dog Mussolini?
I don't know.
Come here, Moosey. Come here, boy.
My dog's name's Russell. But when I share things, it's usually things that aren't damaging or can't be taken as damaging or can't be spun.
I mean, in like fairness,
you share a little more with this guy.
In fairness, calling your girlfriend Mussolini seems a little damaging to her.
Let's, yeah. Let's be honest, though. All my friends and her family, my family, know that's a nickname.
Look, did we all laugh? Yeah. Did some of us get in trouble for laughing? Yes, we did, Josh. Yes, we did.
You got in trouble for laughing about that game?
Yes, I did. He didn't even get in trouble. I got yelled at for laughing at the joke.
I think it was probably a little bit of concern that perhaps that type of behavior would spread.
Which it has.
That it was contagious.
Yeah,
it
turns out. It's founded.
800-990-3776. Kelly Stafford shared on a podcast, part of the strategy she used to lock up Matthew Stafford was dating the backup quarterback on the Georgia football team to essentially make him jealous. And it worked. And they got married and they have a family. And now it's been, you know, 20 years or so. And she was laughing about it with a pal on a podcast. And these guys are saying that was oversharing. And I don't have an issue with her sharing a detail of her relationship and her life with the world.
Again, it's just she got too specific because now you're also dragging the backup quarterback into it.
Who
probably just was doing nothing, you know, doing his spreadsheets. Who knows what he's doing now? You know, he's off being an accountant somewhere.
Yeah. Georgia.
Yeah. Who knows what he's doing? And now he's just getting tricked. Wait. What did I do? How did I get dragged into this today?
That's an excellent point. So it's all about who your oversharing affects.
Yes.
If you can keep it kind of centralized, if you can keep it neutralized to maybe yourself and your spouse or your friend or your kid or whatever, maybe it's okay. But when it starts having shrapnel to other people, then you're saying it's out of bounds. Is that fair? Is that a fair summation of your position?
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, this in terms of the things that I've seen overshared on the internet is probably a five. But it does bring up the grander point of sometimes some things are better left unsaid or better left coded, left with a little mystery to it. Because this backup quarterback now is getting sent this by his buddies in a group chat. Like, hey, you got used. And he's probably like, yeah, I know. It doesn't feel great.
Familiar. Know what it feels like.
Yeah, oversharing in sports will get you in trouble.
What do you mean?
Now he's got to debate if he's going to overshare.
No, like Holmgren would go crazy if you talked about injuries in the press. But sometimes the media is good. Sometimes they
trick you.
Trick you.
Okay. And but sometimes isn't it ridiculous? Like, we were having the conversation the other day, I think it was Gabe and I, because it doesn't sound like something I would talk about with you guys, about the Yankees and Gerrit Cole coming back from injury, and how the Yankees were like real secret squirrel about how many pitches he was going to throw.
Who knows? It's a mystery.
Yeah, we don't know. We don't want to give away the competitive advantage. And it was like, well, he threw 65 in his last minor league appearance. I'm going to guess. I don't know. It's going to be around there.
Turns out there's a baseball team on the other side who knows how this stuff works.
Let me ask you this. What'd you think of Canseco's book?
I don't know that I read Canseco's book.
So, I mean, the problem with Canseco's book is you don't know what's true and what's not true.
Well, there's a code. There's a locker room code.
Yeah. Yeah, him like outing Mark McGwire as his like steroid buddy.
Yeah.
To make a little bit of money for himself, that's not great.
Because there's stuff I'm dying with.
Wait,
from
you,
all
wait,
my
okay.
years of playing.
Hold
yeah,
on.
No, there's
Hold
stuff.
Hold on. No. I'm not going to try to excavate any of it, but you just revealed you actually know how to keep a secret.
Yes.
So there's no excuse for this other BS that you try to pull, and you're like, oh, I don't know if it's a secret or not a secret.
I've been trying to say this for a long time. He knows what he's doing.
Oh, no, there's
you
a code.
Just outed yourself.
Well, there's a code. And that's not oversharing.
Okay, but what is the code? You don't have to tell us again what the information is, obviously, but like, what are the parameters? What are the guidelines for stuff that you cannot share?
If we can
see, hey, she's trying. No, you're not.
You're giggling
we
over here.
We need to go to break.
If you're telling stories about, was it camping with the brownie?
Yeah, the brownie dropping out of his butthole. That,
like, if we're gonna
that's
be
that's nothing.
You can say butthole.
Nope.
Really?
What?
Or Wayne Simmons and Reggie getting into a fight in the locker room.
Or Antonio Freeman showing Jason how to beat press coverage in nothing but a jock strap.
But that's normal
to bat wing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The bird bath.
Bird bath.
The flying squirrel.
I don't know what there's
Uncle
left.
Uncle Rube.
I don't know what there's left to share.
Oh, there's stuff to share. It ain't going to be, yeah.
And I'm not using this in specific to you. I have seen this problem. You know somebody's significant other cheated on them. Do you tell that person?
Oh, please. You know that this hits close to home. You know this does.
I didn't.
Because you didn't?
No, I'm sorry.
So I had a girlfriend back in out of school, 2000s, late 2000s. Big group of friends, always going out every Friday, every Saturday on the scene, right? My husband, her boyfriend. I was told by my husband that her boyfriend was cheating on her. I told her that I had heard he was cheating on her. You know what she did?
She got mad at you.
Yes, and cut me out.
Yeah,
that's... cut me out. We never hung out again.
That's not a... as. And I don't want to dismiss it. That's a thing I've seen happen in other people's lives, too, where the person who said something is the one who gets in trouble. So as much as you want to be the good person and say, I think this person wants to know this information, you often end up being the bad guy. And I'm not speaking from personal experience here. I've just witnessed it and said, that's probably something that we all should just kind of stay out of, huh?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. even if it's your really good friend.
Do you regret it?
Do I regret telling her?
Yeah.
I don't know. It felt like she could have had a little bit more common sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I wasn't trying to hurt her by telling her what I had heard. I think the opposite is worse. If you know that something like that is going on and you don't say something, and then later on it comes out and they find out that you knew.
Yeah, and you didn't tell them?
I'm none of my business. That's just where I...
Yeah, well, that's how I handle it now.
Live and learn.
Through life experiences.
Not my monkeys. Not my circus. 800-990-3776. We got a lot of stuff to get to this morning. Craig Karmazin is going to join us. Why has Brooke Lopez's name been in the news lately? We're going to discuss that. Did you see J.J. Redick got the Lakers job yesterday? Do people in Milwaukee like J.J. Redick?
No. Nope.
Plus, we're going to ask Craig, when we talk to him, about his George Webb... what is it? Experience? The George
Webb? Yeah, when's it happening?
Extravaganza? When is it happening? And we're going to compare it to the McDonald's thing that we saw circulating on social media over the last few weeks. See what he thinks about what this young man accomplished for losing his bet. That's all coming up on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Make it easy with the Ewald Automotive. It's always easy because Ewald Automotive's grand opening sale for their new Ewald Volkswagen Buick GMC was so successful, they decided to extend the celebration. They're bringing the same grand opening savings across the entire Ewald group of dealerships. You've got financing as low as 0%. Your trade-in is going to be the lowest. Lowest lease payments of the year, if that's the direction you want to go. I love my lease that I get through Ewald. And that's with over 1,400 vehicles, the biggest savings in Milwaukee. Ewald makes it easy. It all starts by going to ewaldauto.com.
You're listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
And guess who didn't hit the hole? Zeke Elliott.
Ashton.
Well, I mean, yes. You all right back there?
That's so true.
It was a direct shot. She took out the sniper rifle and just...
There's not a... No, she got right up to me, took out a Glock, and just shot.
Yeah, right in the balls.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Have you tried Celsius Energy Drink yet? If you haven't, let me tell you all about it. It is the clean energy drink that you need, that I need to stay active and energized all day long. And I use Celsius to get through the long days during college football season. A little less long here when I'm doing ESPN Milwaukee. But last night, long day, doing a little show in the afternoon, had to swing through the gas station and pick up a Celsius energy drink. You can find it at Pick and Save or online at Amazon as well. Stay active and energized all day long with Celsius Essential Energy Drinks, which also brings you the Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast. Do you want your partner sharing in-depth details of your relationship? Is there an oversharing epidemic, as Joshy and Gabe claim? People are oversharing. People are sharing too much. I actually think more than a oversharing epidemic, we have a conversation epidemic. I don't think people know how to converse anymore. And maybe the oversharing is a byproduct of that, Gabe. Like, we used to be skilled in conversation and talking to somebody and knowing what was appropriate for said conversation, depending on your level of knowledge and how long you'd known them, etc. And I feel like maybe it was COVID, where we were all shut up in our houses and only could talk to people that we were blood related to. And then we got back out into the world and we were like,
I had to keep it all inside for so long.
Maybe that's it.
Just started vomiting.
Do you agree,
every
though, that there is a conversation epidemic where I'm very concerned about this next generation, my son's generation, as they get out into the world and have to have just basic conversations with other people they do not know and their inability to do so.
But that's kind of more of an over-reliance on technology, right? And I know, Chewy, this has been a big thing for you of if you are texting someone, is that actually talking to someone?
No. Which kids call talking.
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of the oversharing is a lot of people want clicks on social media, right? And or insecurities, right? I still don't understand this generation walking around and taking selfies of themselves everywhere. What do you do with those? Does Chase do that?
Nope. You know who he sends pictures to is his girlfriend. You know, so they'll...
But if you watch a
lot of them... With a funny filter or something like that.
Yeah, they walk around and they take pictures of themselves. Like, I'm like, what the hell are you doing with that?
Maybe they're sending it to their friends.
Yeah. I've never been able to understand the people who have no problem just popping open the front-facing camera and talking to it. Like they have like an audience of millions.
Oh, like they're podcasting their life?
Yeah, that to me is like when I see someone taking a selfie, I feel like I'm watching them in their most intimate moment. Like I shouldn't be able to see them doing those things. It makes me uncomfortable.
It is very weird. I mean, I'm not a selfie with friends. I'm a selfie by yourself.
Yes.
Is that self phrase stink? PU-ish? What?
I'm selfie with friends?
What's wrong with that?
Well, just break down the word for me, ACT.
Selfie with friends.
Well, no, just selfie. Just self.
It's no, I okay. get that. But I've never taken a picture of myself, I don't believe.
Yeah, you have other people do it.
Yeah. Like, I'll send you a picture of the Blammer, because just to show you that he wears the exact same outfit every day.
Yep.
Every day.
Trying to think if you've... Yeah, I don't think you've ever sent us a selfie.
Does this count?
No, because that was taken by a professional.
Yeah.
That was professionally done on sets.
I know it doesn't count. I just wanted to...
It's a good excuse anytime
working to... Working into the show, I am holding the picture of Chewy.
It's deeply
topless.
Uncomfortable.
That's why we do it.
How are my nips?
Cut off, unfortunately.
Yeah, can't see them. Yeah. A lot of hair, though.
I think that was an editorial decision.
Yeah, maybe. It was?
Looks like one nipple down there.
Yeah, you get about a half a nip.
One down there.
About a half a nip.
800-990-3776. We got to get to Craig Karmazin here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, but we are curious about your opinion on oversharing. Did Kelly Stafford overshare when she told the story of kind of how her and Matthew Stafford, her husband, who happens to be a quarterback in the NFL, got together? Let us know, 800-990-3776.
You know how much I love baseball. You know how much I love golf. You can now combine both of those with X-Golf and American Family Field. Not only do they have clearly, you know, Brewers coming in for a homestand next week, but you can combine golf and your tickets. Simtime game tickets all in one place. The Brewers single game ticket website. Then enjoy the great food and beverage options they have inside X-Golf and American Family Field. Great views of the field. And once it gets a little hot, you're a little bit cooler up there hanging out inside X-Golf AmFam Field. Also, new this year, if you are playing a regular round of golf, whether it's a game day, whether it's a non-game day, at X-Golf and American Family Field, if you're playing a regular round and you make an ace, you hole out, hole in one, you and somebody else get to go down Bernie's slide. Find out more by heading over to xgolfamfamfield.com.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
Gabe, you're right. I actually just looked at the stats. No hypocrite has ever won a championship.
Fridays with Mo.
Mark Attanasio, the last thing he wanted to do was play a video and tribute Craig Council in any way. So I give Mark Attanasio a ton of credit.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. He is sponsored by Landworks Landscape Services. Their creative and talented team will design, build, enhance, and maintain beautiful landscapes in southeastern Wisconsin. Learn more and see their work at landworkswisconsin.com.
It's
This is so typical. I finally pay off my bet, sit through the ACT, get the score for the ACT, that Craig Karmazin made me take. You guys need to know this. Speaking of oversharing, he was going to garnish my wages. He said he was going to not allow me to be paid because he knows, you know what, keeps the wheels moving over here. If I didn't take the AC, so I was like, fine, geez, you're going to really lean into me here. I'll take the ACT. Okay, we got Craig Karmazin. I was going to say, and now here he won't even show up for the day when I get to share with him my results. But Craig, you are there. Thank you very much.
I am here. I know it was a tough one for your ego to lose on around the horn. So I'm here to be a sympathetic ear today.
Well, we're not even going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the ACT that you made me take. I was just telling these guys how you said you were going to garnish my wages if I didn't take the test. So I took the test and I got a 28 on it. And I feel like that's pretty good, Craig. I feel like you owe me some flowers here this morning.
You deserve all the flowers. A 28 is pretty insane. I mean, that's like top 10%, isn't it? I mean, that's a big time score. Have we been able to look up and see where that actually ranks?
I mean, Joshy could do it. I don't think it's as cool.
Come on,
as
it.
You think it is?
We looked at what schools you could get into with a 28.
No, we looked at what schools you could get into with a 12.
That was a 16, and there's none.
Not many.
No.
So now, Craig, the next question.
So what's a 20? Wait, what is a 28 getting you into these days?
Marquette, Wisconsin. What were some of the?
Well, I mean, you could probably get into Wisconsin. You probably need a little more extracurriculars with 28. Average, I believe, at UW is 29.
Okay.
But I think just about everything in the state below Lawrence and UW. Everything else, the average score is 28 or below.
So also, 28 is the 90th percentile, so it is top 10%.
Oh, okay.
Terrific. Now let's get to Craig's bet.
No.
When are you sitting in? Because I don't have the luxury of garnishing your wages or putting any sort of pressure on you other than when you come on this program. So now when are you going to follow through and sit at George Webb's for 24 hours?
I'm not going to sit at George Webb for 24 hours because I will eat food to decrease my time. But July 19th at 3 p.m., I will sit down to begin my time there. And the only thing is, I think we're looking for your sign-off on this. But I think the plan is, because we had said you could subtract 60 minutes for each waffle or pancake that I eat. But I think there was some discussion that we should add some other menu items. And so I think Kyle Brust and Nortman were going to propose to you guys some other menu items and accompanying times that it would subtract from my time at George Webb, and just to make sure that you sign off on them.
Yeah, because Gabe.
So that if it's...
Gabe has the list of the McDonald's stuff in front of us. That's what we wanted to bring up to you this morning. There was a gentleman who lost his fantasy bet, much like you and I did, and had to sit at McDonald's. Was it also for 24 hours, Gabe? Mm-hmm. He had to sit there? And then his buddies compiled a list of foods that he could knock down the time.
I feel like they were pretty harsh with him. Like the fact that a double quarter pounder, that's what you needed to eat to get 60 minutes knocked off. Like a Big Mac only knocked off 45.
I know.
If you ate a McDouble that was 30 minutes, just a regular hamburger was 25. Although, if you jumped in the ball pit, it subtracted 5.
But how long do you have to be in the ball pit? I feel like you needed to add some nuance to that one. Could you just jump in, jump out? Because I could do that 20 times and immediately 1 hour.
Feels like a one-timer.
Yeah, I think that's just a free 5 minutes you get knocked off.
What's the pain of going into the ball pit? Just baby boogers and stuff like that?
Yeah.
Well, for someone like you, yeah, I don't give a rip.
Yeah.
Plus,
children.
Yeah.
Plus somebody there just taking a picture of an adult jumping into the ball pit.
I would do it over and over and
Craig,
over
what's
again.
What's the strategy behind 3 o'clock in the afternoon?
Well, so first of all, I would go 288 apple slices, and then I'd be out of there, which I think is the easy way to go in the McDonald's bet. But the strategy at 3 o'clock is I don't want it to cut into the workday too much, but it's a Friday in the summer, and I do want it to have some content value for the station, so I feel like KBN could have some fun with it. And ultimately, my daughter's out of town, so it seems like the perfect day.
So what is your goal time to be out of there by? 3 a.m.? 2 a.m.?
No, 12 p.m.
Midnight?
I don't know. I mean, I think I was thinking like 11, because I want to do the Tori Lowe walk to end violence in the morning, you know, that 101.7 The Truth is doing. So I don't want to get home.
Better
Wait, is it 24 hours or 12 hours?
24.
You got a lot of work to do, buddy.
Yeah.
24 hours. I mean, I feel like if I get out in 8 hours, that means I will have had to have eaten 16, you know, things, or depending on what you all set as my minutes, I don't know, I'll figure out how to eat
that's
16
like,
hours worth of food.
Yeah, two pancakes an hour, Craig. Like, you're not a big guy, man. Like, I don't know how you're going to pull that off and get out of there in 8 hours.
I think I would have started this. I think you made a mistake strategically, Craig. I would have started this sucker at 5 a.m. 5 a.m.,
yeah.
And if you go 12 hours, you're there 5 to 5. If you go longer, you're still into the evening, but you could probably get out of there by 11. You never have to be there overnight. I think the overnight part of it, for me, I would try to avoid as much as possible.
I was told I'm not allowed to work, and I'm not going to, like, take up an entire work day. Like,
who
I
told
have a
you
job.
Couldn't work? That, to me, seems ridiculous. In 2024?
That was part of the parameters Craig put on it when he initially came up with this.
So Craig put his own parameters on it. You know who could change Craig's parameters?
No, I would never put no work. I would never put no work on the parameters. But they were saying that if I just, like, had my laptop there, that it would just be, like, a normal work day, and that's not, like, a penalty. If I'm just, like, sitting there, like, working all day.
Yeah, but 24 hours at George Webb feels like a penalty.
Oh, yeah, that's why you didn't want to finish last.
No, I mean, if you're overruling Kyle, because I'm all for it. If you overrule Kyle and say I can bring my laptop,
no, you cannot bring your laptop.
Oh, that's
if they've
painful.
Got a newspaper there, Craig, yeah. You can read the newspaper. If you want to bring a book, bring a book.
What about a cell phone?
No, he's not allowed to have
his
phone.
That's worse than taking
Except
the SAT.
Unless he's putting social media content out, the phone's off limits too, I believe.
Oh.
All right, Craig, before we let
you go. And I have to sit with Alex Stroph. Alex Stroph is going to be there also, like, videoing and annoying me and taking social media.
What an interminable nightmare.
Again, more incentive to not finish last.
Before we let you go.
I mean, Joshy's coming for your 28, by the way, when he just dropped incriminable or whatever that was.
Oh, I have no doubt Joshy could do better than I did. Mm. I got a 19 on the math, Craig. I got a 19 on the math. I had to guess on a lot of those problems.
You still got a 28? You still got a 28
yeah,
with a 19 in math?
Because I got a 35 on the reading.
Well, you got what, 32, 35 on the English and reading?
Yeah.
Chewy, she reads good, huh?
Yeah. That's overrated, though. I mean, it really is. Who reads books anymore?
Craig, I want to get to some other stuff before we let you go. So the guys are convinced, Joshy and Gabe, that is, that Kelly Stafford was oversharing when she told that story about how she started dating the backup quarterback on the Georgia football team, basically to make Matthew Stafford, her now husband, jealous back in the day. And I said, hashtag content. Where do you stand on this?
Yeah, I'm totally hashtag content. Like, if you're this deep into the relationship and there's insecurities about that, when you're that public a figure, which both of them are, like, then the relationship has no chance anyway. I mean, you got to, like, go for the content, and you got to be secure in the relationship.
Well, what about the guy that got thrown under the bus, unbeknownst to him, as part of the story yesterday, as, you know, the tool that ignited their relationship?
Oh, I mean, that's a great spot for him. I mean, now he's got the story with his golf buddies and with every foursome he plays on for the rest of his life that he's the reason Matt Stafford ended up with his wife. Like, that's a win for him.
He's just throwing somebody unnecessarily under the bus.
Isn't there a code, Craig?
What bus are you under? I think that's like a win.
You got used. Let's tell a story about how you were used 15 years
ago. Isn't there a statute of limitations on this stuff, guys?
There's not with Cindy Crawford and Chewy.
Well, are we really going to use him as the barometer?
If it helps our case,
Angie's
absolutely.
Different.
Wait, why?
I think we've said Angie's different. Angie is different. You can't mess with Angie. So that's why these rules are different for Chewy. But for everyone else, like, that's a great story. Like, he was in college. Who cares? He's like, that's a great story for him.
What if she was the one that got away and it brings up, you know, some unresolved trauma?
No, come on. You know, I mean, Jen, these guys don't get it. They're not evolved enough to understand what good content is.
You know what? I'm going to side with the boss here. It just feels, again, strategically, it feels like a safer bet.
All right, Craig, we already saw one NBA trade get pulled off as Alex Caruso was on the move. The Bucks, there are rumors just floating out there that maybe it's Brook Lopez who ends up on the move if the Bucks end up trading. What I mean, Brook is the only high-value contract that they would have. So whether or not Brook is staying, I think, is irrelevant. It's, okay, if the Bucks want to make a big move, that's the piece they have. Therefore, that's the rumors where the rumors are going to come from. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, no, I think the rumors are going to come from a lot of places because I actually think there's a lot of high-value contracts because every team's in a different situation, and sometimes there's a high-value contract because it's an expiring contract, because it's tradable, because there's so many different reasons. So the Bucks have so many assets, but I think the, you know, when you include the draft assets as well, but I think it's really about the fact that this team is that close already, and we know that every year they're never satisfied with where they are. So that's what makes this thing so fascinating, because I think if they just ran it back, I would feel good. This team has a really good chance, but I know that's not how John Horst thinks, and I know that the team is not satisfied where they are.
Is J.J. Redick going to work out?
Oh, I mean, that's crazy, right? Like to think
it's
about,
not crazy in basketball because, I mean, you look at Larry Bird. I mean, I'm sure there's a few others. I mean, that
dude,
worked
Bird,
out.
Magic, and, Jason Kidd.
Yeah.
Bird, Magic, Jason Kidd, Steve Nash. There's been a lot of guys who've gone straight from playing to being a coach. But when they do it with these high expectations and when you do it with a guy you were doing a radio show with, like, that's like, I mean, that's wild. I mean, he was just broadcasting the NBA Finals and doing a podcast with LeBron James. And now he's the head coach of the Los Angeles Lakers, which, by the way, I think the most underrated thing, I mean, is, are we not talking about Darvin Ham? Like, this is a big deal. I mean, this guy coached the Lakers to the conference finals a year ago, part of the NBA championship team, worked so well with the big man. Him back with the Bucks is a big deal that is not getting talked about.
But Redick is co-coach. He's the co-coach there.
Oh, I mean, absolutely. I mean, I think he is, as the co-host of his show, I think he has such a deep respect for LeBron's insights into the game that why wouldn't you want to use his insights? I mean, think about the only guy who, like, played as long and, like, you know, because Jordan didn't play as long, but Bill Russell, by this point of his career, he was the head coach of the Boston Celtics. Mm-hmm. He literally was the head coach and won a championship as a player at the same time. I mean, if the rules allowed for that, I think LeBron James could do that right now. So I think J.J. Redick needs some experienced head coaches, an experienced head coach or two to be assistants with him. But I also think LeBron being there is like having another assistant.
Yeah, I just think that people talk about Jason Kidd, right? That was a name that came up yesterday when we were talking. And I was like, do we not remember about how it was having Jason Kidd as the head coach of the Milwaukee Bucks? It was not a wild success. There's a learning curve for anybody who has never coached before. And I stand by what I said yesterday on Around the Horn, which is he has to surround himself with experienced coaches. And he can't believe he knows all the things because he's been around basketball, because he's played the sport, because he's broadcasted the sport. This is a different beast. This is a different animal. And so I think the best thing he can do is check his ego. He can lean on the people who have been there and done that to get through this. And, you know, again, if his claim to fame is that he has great relationships with players, lean into that, but recognize that it's not the only thing that a head coach in the NBA has to do.
I think his claim to fame is that he's a psychopath. And there's certain people who get to where they are because they had such an unreal work ethic. You know, the coach of the Chicago Cubs, the manager of the Chicago Cubs comes to mind. And what J.J. Redick did in his career was, I mean, so indicative of the work ethic he has. So we absolutely know that nobody is going to outwork J.J. Redick in the role he's in. But no, what you said on Around the Horn was right. And I think what you also didn't mention just now when you said Jason Kidd, I think Jason Kidd was very successful in Milwaukee. But remember, that was his second head coaching stint.
He already had Brooklyn, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was just for a season, though. Had he been there longer than that?
Yeah. I mean, he was there in Brooklyn, and he inherited a team that was ready to win a title. And that is just such a tough situation. And the fact that he left there to come to Milwaukee shows that, it is very difficult to take over a team that has expectations to win now. I mean, they just fired a coach who lost to the defending NBA champions after going to the Western Conference Finals. I mean, that is a pretty high bar. That wasn't good enough for Darvin Ham. So what is going to be good enough for J.J. Redick?
Well, if Milwaukee is looking for a public enemy number one, I think J.J. Redick could probably fill that role. Obviously, people still remember how his time here on the team went. And more recently, he was very, very, very critical of Doc Rivers when he got the head coaching job for the Milwaukee Bucks. So if anybody's looking for anybody to, I don't know, fight.
I'm just saying, the second that JJ decides not to take responsibility for something, there may be an audio clip out there that gets thrown in his face. That's all I'm saying.
It doesn't seem
JJ
like he's
Doc
got a lot of fans here.
JJ and Doc have a great relationship. JJ and Doc have a great relationship. JJ had his best year slaying for Doc, and it was cool to see JJ be willing to do that and say and be critical of Doc, because I think that shows, will he, be critical of LeBron James when he needs to be? And I think you need that in a coach. I mean, Chewy, can a coach really be successful just being best friends with the best player, or do you have to be able to, get at him?
You do, but you warn him before you do it. It's really just
okay,
show. You go
sense.
In and say, hey, I got to rip you today. You okay with that? Yeah, go ahead. No big deal. It's all fake, Craig. There's so much fake crap that goes on in sports. Sorry.
I don't know what you're apologizing
you
for.
It for me.
Well, I'm just saying.
I mean, he just ruined
and there's
it for
guys,
me. I thought it was all real.
Craig, and then there's guys that go over the top and sell themselves because all they want is the money. And then when it comes to coaching, they're like, yeah, it's fine. You can fire me after a year or two. I'm telling you.
Yeah, well, J.J. Redick's not that guy.
You don't think
J.J.
so?
J.J. Redick, I mean, I know from people in the building, Evan Cohen, who joins you guys, like he said J.J. Redick was the one guy at the Seaport every day, and was there for First Take that he never was able to talk to because he was so intense. It was like he was going there for a game every day, and he actually could never talk to him because he was so intense and ready to go every day as if it was an NBA game.
So he's super accessible and super relatable. That's what I'm hearing, Craig.
I'm saying he's intense, and he's been a winner everywhere he's gone.
All right, that's enough out of you. Craig, we appreciate you hanging out with us this morning. Cannot wait for July 19th when you are going to sit at that George Webb from 3 p.m. until whenever. We will put together a list. Maybe we can help the afternoon show put together a list of how much you can deduct from your time based on some of the other menu items that you eat. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.
Yeah, I expect Chewy to visit me as much as he's visited me on Sunday morning since he's been off that show. Yeah,
I'll sneak you a bat phone.
We can guarantee that since I'm assuming the number is zero.
Chewy said he was going to be on that show once a month when he left it.
I never got invited back.
Back? Does that mean you went once?
I think I did go once. Didn't I go once, Craig?
I think
he's gone.
Oh. He said yes.
take Chewy's word for it. He's no reason to lie in this situation.
All right, we got to roll. We got to take a break. Show is absolutely destroyed as far as the clock goes already this morning. But what else is new here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy? We'll be right back after this.